Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins, and I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, let me share again with you the commission of the ministry. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. He said, they've sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts, and I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. That was the commission that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock at the very beginning. I pray that that is your desire today. The message that you're going to hear today is about the measure of faith. The measure of faith. This was given to all of us, so that we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This means literally to accept him as your functional Lord of your life right now. This may seem a struggle for you, but it's possible because you have the measure of faith. Joseph Hedgecock says in his book Light, pages 70 to 71, you could not have gotten saved without faith. You didn't get faith after you got saved. You were saved by grace through faith, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Therefore, you had to have faith before you got saved. It was the provision for your salvation when you released it into God. And you didn't use it up either at the moment you were saved. All the promises in the Word of God require the same faith you used for your salvation. If you are saved, you have proven that you have the measure of faith. When Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom on this earth, those who've already accepted him as Lord will be ready. And the world will see him at that time, and they will not need faith. But Jesus said this to Thomas in John chapter 20 and verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Jesus also said in the book of Revelation, this is Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. False humility says, I want a cabin in the corner of glory land. This option is not available. This is based on you deciding. It's like coming into a restaurant and ordering something that is not even on the menu. It's really pride. Pride because you think you can have what you want on your own terms. So even if you made him your savior, this is not enough to rule and reign with Christ. Hypocrites in the church will tell you that you can just say a prayer and get everything. You don't have to overcome the devil. You don't have to suffer for Christ. You don't have to suffer for Christ to rule and reign with him. You don't have to make him Lord and stop sinning. You can just call him Lord instead. But Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 19, this is Paul teaching in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Webster defined faith. He defined it in 4 different ways. The first, he said, is belief, the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by someone else, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. The judgment that what the other states or testifies is the truth. It's a strong faith in the testimony of a witness or historian. The church can have beliefs today that are actually opposed to the written word of God, or based on facts taken out of context, or misinterpreted facts based on theories. So we have to be careful. He said again, the second definition of faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of a proportion advanced by another belief or possible evidence of any kind. By this, he was referring to the many other religions around the world. In India, they have up to 150,000 gods. This is a god for every situation. There's even one god in India, which is the mosquito. It takes a lot of faith to believe a mosquito is a god. But those religions are using their faith and misdirecting it into something else. Even those who are in some kind of worship now find themselves trapped, serving a spirit of fear. Thirdly, he said, in theology, faith is the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Simple belief of the scriptures, for example, of the being and perfections of God and the existence, the character and the doctrines of Christ, founded on the testimony of the sacred writers. This is called historical or speculative faith. A faith little distinguished from the belief of the existence and achievements of, like, Alexander the Great or of Caesar. But this is not saving faith. And this is the fourth definition he gives. Evangelical faith is justifying or saving faith. It is the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with cordial assent of the will or approbation of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and doctrines, and even in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to his guidance and dependence on his merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief in God's testimony and of the truth and of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to the entire reliance on Christ for salvation. Joseph Hedgecott gives this simple definition of faith, and I pray that this one is what you hear today. Faith is simply trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he said he would do. That's in the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, page 30. Let me just say it again. Faith is simply trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he said he would do. Jesus said it like this in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering, said unto them, have faith in God. So you can have faith in all sorts of other things, but have your faith in God. Here are some of the promises in the Old Testament for those who trust in the Lord. Psalm 5:11 says this, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. Psalm 5:11. But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Hallelujah. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 9 and verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, and thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 17 and verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Psalm 34:22 says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Hallelujah. Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37 verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Hallelujah. Hope you're enjoying this. Proverbs 28:25. And he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 30 verse 5. Every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. We need faith to do everything. You are using your faith when you even sit on a chair. You have faith that that chair is going to hold you up. You don't check to make sure that it has the ability to hold you before you sit on it. So this is presumptuous. But if you had faith in God, you would ask God even the little things beforehand. Look at how you respond to stress and situations with fear and worry, and end up getting angry. This is the fruit of your faith too. And it's all based on lies that you have believed. But Jesus said, in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Actions speak louder than words. So if you want to know what you really believe in your heart, watch what you do. Faith from God came so that you can believe in him. And you decide where that faith is released. It can be released into God, and his promises or not. That depends on you. Jeremiah came to this planet knowing God beforehand. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee." This is Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Sanctified here means to be set apart, dedicated, and prepared. Ordained means to be sent out, given out, lent out, almost to suffer for something. Jeremiah was given this calling from the very beginning. And I know that if he did anything else, his life would be miserable. He suffered when he kept the word that God gave him to himself. You can read the story in the book of Jeremiah. The word of God was given to him for a particular purpose. We were also sent to this planet by God, and we were supposed to go back to heaven. You will also end up being miserable if you just do your own will, and later on as well, when you realize that all your inheritance that was lost through your own unbelief. Heaven is a wonderful and beautiful place. It is a place where the perfect will of God is being done now. This is what makes heaven so beautiful. You came here to do the will of God on the earth and make it beautiful too. And the kingdom of God is here now, since the day of Pentecost, to help you do that one thing. But sin came into the world too, through pride in the devil's heart. And the disobedience of man will be judged at the right time. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, Paul speaks about man and his present situation. Listen to this. Maybe you don't believe this, but it's what Paul said in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 10. He said, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one." Man is not righteous. Do you believe mankind is really corrupted? Or do you think there is some good in man? Man believes that he can do anything now. He has so much faith in himself, but this is a lie. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 10:27. "And Jesus looked unto them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The devil has contaminated man with so much pride that he does not even need to look to God. Has the devil contaminated your faith? In the Gospel of Mark, remember what Jesus said. This is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 14 and 15. And it says, "Now after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." To enter the kingdom, you have to first repent, turn around, and then believe. Repent means literally to think differently or reconsider and to morally feel compunction in your situation. You cannot repent of pride, but you can humble yourself. That is turning around in God's sight. That is something everyone can do. Let me say that again. You cannot repent of pride, but you can humble yourself. Faith does not work for you when you are Lord of your life. You were sent to change this world, to do the will of God. But this requires humility and Jesus as Lord as well. You can't just have faith. You have to make sure you stay humble. God is offering the forgiveness of sins for a period of time, giving everyone time to really get to the root of their sin, but time is running out. In the book of Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You can stop sinning with His help if you believe and cling to Christ. This is what you were given the measure of faith for, so that you could have the victory over sin. Paul says it like this. He said it to the church in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 27. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, hallelujah, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Despite the fact that up to this point you've put your faith in yourself, you've listened to the lies of the devil, God is willing to take over. He's willing to run your life completely. He's willing to be Lord of your life. Just, you have to do one thing. Don't help Him. Just humble yourself. Don't help God. Arthur Burt writes in his book, Pebbles to Slay Goliath, if you help God a lot, He can do a little. If you help Him a little, He can do a lot. But if you don't help Him at all, He can do anything. Just let go and let God. I remember hearing this myself from a Methodist minister. He came round to share this with me from his heart. And I didn't have ears to hear. I pray that you have ears to hear today. Joseph Hedgecock says, God can do little with much, and much with little, and everything with nothing. If you help God a lot, He can do a little. If you help God a little, He can do a lot. But if you get to the point that you don't help Him at all, then He can do anything. Let go and let God. All you have to do is trust Him. And He will honor you and exalt you in His kingdom. The earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof. He is willing to share it with the meek. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. The devil is called the God of this world, but he cannot give you anything. He doesn't own this world. However, Paul explained that this world has been blinded by the devil through pride. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Again in Ephesians, Paul speaks about this, and he says, we were all puppets of the devil at one time, but by the grace of God, we are We have been given the possibility to see. And he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and he says, you have been quickened. You who is quickened, you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where you were. Verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Did you ever remember that time clearly? Did you feel controlled by the devil when you were in this world? Actually, you were slowly being cooked into some kind of falseness. You were blinded to the truth. Maybe you're still blind, but honestly, do you remember that time? Do you remember feeling any shame or embarrassment about the way that you were doing the will of the devil? You're working for the devil. Or do you think that that period of time wasn't so bad? Paul says that you are a child of disobedience. Ephesians 5 and 6, he continues. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The devil wants to control you the same way now without you even realizing. This is how the devil works. He makes you comfortable. He lets you have whatever you want as long as you serve him and you're under him. Eventually, he is going to totally destroy you. And you are going to lose any happiness that God planned for your life. Are you going to let that happen? In John 10 and 10, it's talking about the devil, and it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The devil came to steal, and he can do that through lies. This is stopping your faith from working so that you never come to life. It's not a lie that you know is a lie. It's a lie that you never really know is a lie. You become a prisoner. And if you ever try to submit to God and use your faith, he will try and stop you. It doesn't look like freedom to submit to God. But if you submit to God, resist the devil, you can use your faith now. All you have to do is surrender to God. And if you do that, you will not lose your inheritance. God wants you to become who you are supposed to be, since he created you, and will share his inheritance with you if you remain humble. This is when Jesus is Lord. When you are Lord, then the root of that is pride, and you have already been contaminated by the devil. Even now, the devil is seeking to use you, to control you, and manipulate you, even though you're born again. Joseph Hedgecott says this, escaping from the snares of Satan must have a high priority in your spiritual life. If you want to enjoy your spiritual inheritance, you must shut the doors to him. You cannot believe God's truth if you already believe a lie. If you believe lies in any area, you are already in a snare. Believing lies prevents you from releasing your faith into the truth. You may have biblical knowledge in your mind, but if you do not obey it, you do not believe it in your heart. If you do not believe the truth in your heart, it is because you already believe a lie. You need to identify and cut the root of every lie you believe so that you can completely release your faith into the truth. As you walk in the truth and obey it, you will be able to avoid deception. This is in Joseph Hedgecock's book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, page 195. God does everything out of love for mankind and wants you to be free from the devil, sin, and shame. He wants you to be free from the consequences of sin. He paid the price so you could set yourselves free. But you have to believe. Paul said it like this in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He proved his love for us. And now you have to respond by trusting him with all your heart and make him your Lord. You cannot have properly operating faith in God when you are still relying on what you think you know. It has to be released 100% into God. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's not wrong to learn, to study, experience, and get natural wisdom. But Jesus must be Lord of it all. There is a time and a place for everything. Proverbs 3 and 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When you lean to your own understanding, you are not trusting the Lord with all your heart. But when you cling to him, then he will direct your path. Using your own reasoning is putting down just another taproot of pride. And you're going to find it harder to walk with God. You're going to find it very difficult to hear his voice afterwards. You were given faith to believe in him, to be your Lord on this earth. But the devil has tricked man into believing in himself and now controls the whole world through him. Your own understanding is a product of carnal knowledge and experience and natural wisdom. But God knows if you really need it all. He will let you have knowledge at the right time and not before. God knows what knowledge has been contaminated with the devil's lies. He loves you. I pray you open your heart to him and recognize that you have gone after something that could contaminate you. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, listen carefully. Proverbs chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 12 right up to 18. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his forbosome ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple, verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Jesus said these words in the Gospels, in Matthew 7, 13 to 15. Enter in through the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Paul speaks about these false prophets, and that they emphasize material gain. Not eternal things, but temporal things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 5, he says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6, but godliness with contempt is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I hope you're hearing what this is saying. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6 and 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do everything in moderation, Paul says. If you cannot trust him with your life now, in every detail, how can you trust him with eternal things? This is important. You have to believe. You have to believe that he's going to save you, but you have to believe also he's going to save your soul. In the Psalms 55 and 23, it says, but thou, O God, shalt bring down into the pit of destruction bloody and deceitful men, shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. The only reason today that wickedness prospers, that evil is continuing, is because God is giving that person, he's giving us all, time to repent. In 2 Peter 3 and 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter also said as well, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Hallelujah. Whenever you are Lord of your life, you are being very wicked. This is the most evil sin. I call it the sin of Satan. He did the same thing in the beginning. He took over. He usurped his position. in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. This is a call for us, God's people, to repent. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do not rely on riches and success in this world, but seek His will first. This is why you were given faith. In the book of Job, chapter 20 and verse 15, it says, he that swallowed down riches, he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. Psalm 37 and 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Psalm 52 verse 7. Low is the man that made not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but the righteousness delivers from death. Jesus said, no man shall serve two masters. That's in the Gospels. In Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:33, I hope you remember this. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, all the things you need. Luke 16 and 13. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to be vulnerable to him for your faith to work properly. God makes a way where there is no way. These are just some more promises. Psalm 25 and verse 2. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. Psalm 25 and verse 20. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. If you feel helpless today, that is good. That's a good sign. It is necessary for your faith to work properly. You have to be broken. You have to be trusting in him, not trusting in anything else. Your faith has to be 100% in him. Look at Paul's teachings. And this is written to the church, to you and me. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given faith to everyone. He is no respecter of persons. He does not give a large amount to one person and a small amount to another. The problem is you have to stop being conformed to this world, the way they say and the way they do things. Not being conformed to this world is a command. It's not a suggestion. If God says to do it, that means you can do it. Make no excuses. Your part is not to be conformed. God's part is to renew your mind through the Holy Spirit. And you cannot be transformed until you stop copying the world. The definition of conformed in Strong's 4964, it means to have the same fashion, to follow the same pattern, to follow the world, really, to have the same fashion as the world. You should be following Jesus directly and the pattern of life of someone who is totally denied themselves and taken up their cross. This is the easiest way to stop copying the world. Make your choice wisely. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3 and 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever hear the cross being mentioned today in church? It's rarely mentioned. But that was the greatest victory that came by the act of total submission by Jesus and his complete trust in God to deliver him in terrible circumstances. Are you following Christ? You need to follow Christ. But if you really want to follow Christ, follow somebody who's following Christ. It's a simple instruction in the Word of God, and people don't like this. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. The word beseech, we've already read it before in Romans 12. Now here again, in 1 Corinthians, beseech means in Strong's it's 3870, but it means to call near, like to get somebody's attention. That is to invite, invoke, implore. It means to call, to comfort, to exhort, to entreat, to pray. Again, Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. If you are not following Christ, or someone who's following Christ as a little child, I suggest you're going away that seems right. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." Have you humbled yourself and become like a little child? Or you still look very much like the world? You are still conformed to this world. You have not denied yourself. Make sure that you are really following Christ. The life of following Christ is not without trouble. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. "And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." I believe there's going to be some trouble along the way. Affliction is all part of getting ready for His appearing. It doesn't mean we're going to be sad. If we make Jesus Lord of our life, your faith will grow. It will not work if you are still Lord, because that's you directing. But when He's Lord, you're going to have joy even in the most difficult times. Transformation means that you know God already. You have joy despite the difficulties, proving that God will brings peace and anointing. Others will see it. Romans 14:17. I hope you know this verse. Paul said it. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Joy, peace, and a life controlled by the Spirit proves that you're already in the kingdom now. Others can see it in you. You have to become like living proof that you're hearing God and doing His will. You're showing everyone that you're not copying this world. You're not just doing what everybody else says, but you're listening to the Spirit, and you have that peace and joy all the time. To obey God, you don't even need to understand everything fully. All you need to do is to use God-given faith. Trust Him. There's a way to know God's perfect will for your life. You're on God's mission. And to get the will of done in meekness means you have to trust and obey. He does the work. Faith is designed for you to overcome only when it's based on God's plan. John says it like this in one of his letters, first letter, 1 John 5:4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." The definition of measure means part or quantity. In Strong's, it says an apparent primary word, a measure, that is meter or literally or figuratively, by implication, a limited portion or degree. That means a measure or portion of something greater. Well, 10% of 1,000 is maybe not much, but 10% of 1,000,000 is more. This measure was enough for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ fully. Make no excuse. This was not a small amount you were given. The greatest miracle is when somebody actually believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and clings to Him. I'm just reading to you now John 3:16. I'm sure you know the verse very well, but I'm reading it in the Amplified because it includes a few extra words about faith. And I pray that God would speak to you through this. This is John 3:16. He said, "For God so greatly loved and dearly and prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him should not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have everlasting life." Do you have a faith that really clings to Christ? Even when trouble comes, do you still rely and trust and obey his voice and follow him despite what others are saying, what else is happening? You need to make sure you have this kind of faith. Acts 16:31. And they said, this is Paul speaking, in fact, in book of Acts, chapter 16:31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And all the doors of the prison where Paul was staying at the time suddenly swung open. There was an earthquake, and the jailer was ready to kill himself because of fear. And Paul said these words. In the Amplified, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping. Entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you'll be saved." Our faith has to be released into the fact that Jesus is Lord now. He's ruling now. He's in control now. He is the one who sent that earthquake. Reject everything that says otherwise. He opens prison doors. Even the devil could not kill Jesus. Death could not hold him. Even the devil could not stop the kingdom of God coming in great power on the day of Pentecost. The jailer heard what was necessary to be saved. Three things. Listen carefully. Reject your own lordship, first of all. Stop listening to yourself. Stop looking after yourself, secondly. And thirdly, put yourself into his keeping. You were given the measure of faith to do all this. Your faith works. You don't need any more faith. The first step is to become a living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12:1. You were given the measure of faith to put everything in his hands from the very beginning. Ask God why you never really did this. Or maybe you did it, but you've stopped doing this now. This is a testimony from Charles Finney, the great American evangelist. And many would cry out to him and say, "Finney, what must we do to be saved?" Charles Finney did not let the people make a commitment just by raising their hand. They had to attend an after-inquiry meeting. In these meetings, the point was frequently urged upon everyone to give their full consent to Jesus. They were told that the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them. The same is true today. They were also told to seek the lowest terms upon which Christ would possibly save them. Finney said, "Pains were taken to shut the sinner up, to accept Christ, his whole will, his atonement, His official work, his official relations, everyone had to renounce all sin, all excuse making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and even every wicked thing in heart and life, here, now, and forever. Charles Finney realized that the flesh will look for the easiest option. People want to just repent and pray or raise their hand. But he saw that this was a misuse of that faith that God had given them. Maybe you don't realize what kind of faith you have. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with God. We need to prepare ourselves for being married to Christ. We have the possibility to not only have a relationship now, but for all eternity. We're going to live with him forever. We're going to know even as we're known. Now is a good time to do your first works over again. Grace is available now for you to finish your race and to be the person that you are supposed to be in Christ. There is still time. Take some encouragement from this story. Paul was often speaking to us. We've been hearing the verses that he wrote. But Paul had enough grace to stop, even though he persecuting the church. In Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. And he talks about the change in his life. Galatians 1 and 10. I'm reading verses 10 to 13. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, should I not be the servant of Christ? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have all heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and tried to waste it and destroy it." We all started with the same amount of faith as Paul at the beginning. You can read what Paul did with his measure of faith. If you know someone who is doing well in Christ, it's only because he or she is using their faith with humility. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, "Know ye not that they that which run in a race, run all, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain such the prize." Joseph would say this in his testimony. If your faith is not working, use mine, it works. He would say that he could use the same faith of anyone in the meeting, just born again, and still not have to change or cut back anything God had given to him for him to do by grace through faith. Nothing he would have to cut back in his ministry. What do you believe in your heart? What you believe in your heart is what you actually do. Examine yourself. James 2 and 18 says, "Yea, man, say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me my faith, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you faith with or by my works." James chapter 2, 18. Let's read that again. "Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We must accept what He has called us to be. You are special. Do not compare yourself with anyone else except Jesus. But do not be ignorant of the reason why God is using some and not others. When your faith starts working, you will end up on the narrow path. Don't be surprised. Let's look at Jesus. He is our example. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are all encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand side of the throne of God. Jesus submitted himself to the plan that God had set for him. He came to die, but God raised him from the dead. The same power can be in you if you're willing to die for Christ. That's when your faith becomes activated, and not before. You must surrender all. Have you accepted God's plan for you? Or are you trying to fit God into your plan? Is the burden heavy? Are you carrying the load? Jesus said these words in Matthew 6 and 30. He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into, even into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Matthew 8, verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You can have a little faith in God, because it's mostly in other things. You can find a longer list of all the hindrances to your faith that can be found in chapter 9 in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. Pages 70 to 77. Let me just read that list to you, because some of you don't believe that things can hinder your faith. You can pray amiss with a wrong motive. You can have misdirected faith. That's mostly faith in yourself. You can have unbelief. That's rooted in the fact you believe something that is a lie, but you don't recognize it's a lie. You just believe it. You don't test. You can have doubt that comes from being carnal, analyzing the situation with your mind. You can have sins. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. So those weights can just hold you back. Fear. Fear is faith in a negative outcome, controlled by demonic forces. Ignorance. You must make sure your faith is in what God has clearly revealed in His Word for you personally. God is never going to tell you to do something that is contrary to His written Word. If Jesus is your master and He is your teacher, telling you to do something, then it will work. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Even the devils tremble at the name of our Lord. The measure of faith can also grow when Jesus is Lord and you are humble. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and 15, not boasting of things without measure, that is other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that ye shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. The Corinthians have become comfortable. If you want your faith to grow, you have to be ready to be uncomfortable. You have to experience faith in action. And Paul was comparing himself with those Corinthians. And he was trying to share with them they had to get to where he was. Faith must be based on weakness. Because when we are weak, he is strong. He is glorified. Are you living by truth or just doctrines and methods? In the Psalms 119 verse 9, it says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need a word from him. We need a divine revelation. Our faith has to be in his solutions. Both these passages, in Psalm 119 verse 9 and here again in John 17:17. Let me read that again. It says, sanctify them through thy truth, that thy word is truth. Both these verses are talking about a word from God the Father. Is your faith in the scriptures that you have memorized, or are you trusting him, waiting on him for the solution that he has provided? This includes truth and even personal conviction. Maybe the devil has blinded you by pride in your heart, and all you can see is that somebody else is the problem. But actually, you're the problem. And if you can humble yourself and hear from God, you can be set free from where you are right now. You need that revelation from God. Paul was a Pharisee. He had memorized scripture so much. But when he met Christ, that all changed. And he compared these two systems, 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. He said, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament. He was talking about what God did in his life. He said, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. With the measure of faith, you're supposed to cling to God's answer. The psalmist in 119 is asking God, not just for blessings, but for blessings according to his word. This could make the difference between your faith working and not working. I pray you hear this. In Psalm 119 verse 25, the psalmist says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Are you clinging to anything else other than the dust, like the psalmist said? Are you looking for hope from anywhere else? Psalm 119 verse 28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Is your soul melting right now? Or is your soul demanding what you do and believe. Psalm 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Are you working out your salvation with the mercy of God? Are you doing it with fear and trembling? Or are you trusting in what you know? Do you know the mercy of God for all your sin? Psalm 119, verse 58, he says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Have you failed to show mercy from your heart? Even now you need it yourself. Let us be careful that the way we treat others, God will treat us in his word. Psalm 119, verse 65 says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Faith only works when we are a servant doing his bidding. Maybe you haven't made that decision today to make him your Lord. You're not really serving him, you're serving yourself. It's part-time. Repent. Psalm 119, verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. When you are seeking comfort, do you pray like this? Do you pray blessings, or do you just want according to thy word? The Holy Spirit can comfort you. Psalm 119, 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Do you want a quick solution without repentance, or do you want God's solution? Even if you're afflicted, you want God's solution. Psalm 119, 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Do you want him to uphold you when your hope is not in the Lord? Do you know that your hope is dependent on him being Lord of your life? Or is it some other basis? Make sure that he is really Lord of your life. Psalm 119, 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. How can he plead your case if you have forgotten to forgive others? Make sure that your case is coming before God because you have pleaded the case of others. Psalm 119, 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. We know in the book of Isaiah 59 and 2, sin stops God from hearing our prayers. So if you want understanding, if you're seeking understanding, why he did not hear your voice, I believe God will hear you. Make sure that you want understanding and not a quick solution. The last one, Psalm 119, 170. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. There are many conditions to God's blessings. And when you pray like this, and you say, God, only bless me according to thy word, it shows you mean business. There are no shortcuts to holiness. God, go through this psalm and ask yourself whether you are really trusting in him, like the psalmist says. Are you trusting him Are you relying on Him alone? You are helpless without Him. Do you realize that He can make the exception to the rule in His word? But there are many conditions to God's promises. If He wants, He can make the exception. And if He does, it's because He does it. And it's not because you want Him to make the exception, it's because He does it from His heart to give you and me a chance to learn, to come to a deeper understanding of the things of God. That is faith in Him. Faith that's not in God is not faith at all. It's presumption. It assumes that you can do something without God. That puts you on the broad road heading for destruction. You cannot receive the things of God without that faith. This is why we receive the measure of faith at the beginning. Obey faith in the living word, and that brings life. The good news is that He is willing and able to be your Lord. Paul said it like this in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have only made Jesus your Savior, and I don't believe that is an assurance, you cannot base your hope on the fact of ever entering the kingdom of God. You cannot receive the things of God without faith. This is why we receive the measure of faith at the beginning. Only faith in the living word brings life. Jesus is Lord. You are humble. The good news is that He is willing and ready to be your Lord. Paul said, faith is the assurance of something you are hoping for. Let's read that in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is your hope today? What are you hoping for? You need to be clear what the scripture says. In Matthew 7, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Your faith has to have an assurance. If you want to be sure that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, then don't just make Him your Savior, make Him your Lord today. Surrender all. Learn to hear His voice. Stop thinking. If He's just your Savior, how can you enter the kingdom of heaven if you keep doing your own will? Paul said it like this in Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Jesus is our example. He never did anything without first hearing from God, from His Father. John 5:30, and you can do the same. Put your faith in God today. Know that He is speaking all the time. He is transmitting His perfect will for every child of His. In John 5:30, Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You have been given the gift of faith, the measure of faith, You have been given the measure of faith. So now you must direct that into Him as your Lord. Believe that you can do nothing without Him. Trust Him. The first thing a child of God should learn is how to hear His voice. If you want to hear, if you want to get to know Him, if you really want to come close to Him and follow Him, I recommend the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice. If that's your prayer, then please get a hold of that book. It's written by Joseph Hedgecock. It has about 300 scriptures for you to work through. For those of you who've been listening to this message and you realize, yes, I have that measure of faith, but something has contaminated my faith. Something's gone in the way. It's not working like it should. Maybe some of the things I've said in this message have touched your heart and you realize that you haven't really been clinging to Christ. You realize your faith was not done right at the beginning. Go back and do your first works. Don't be afraid to do that. But you know that something is wrong with your faith. You've been contaminated, maybe by pride. And now your faith is not working properly. It's not submitted to the Lord. You're not under Him. You're just demanding and getting everything you think you need rather than waiting on Him and first hearing from Him like Jesus did. And so now your faith, you need to go back and you need to make sure that you get your faith purified. One of the ways you can do this is you can read a book called The Book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. In there, in chapter 9, he describes faith and how it works. Describes the hindrances to faith. So make sure you get a copy of that book. I highly recommend the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. I pray this message has helped you today. Let me just pray that just for each person listening, Father, I know that you have used these verses and the message today to help everyone who has that measure of faith, how Satan has corrupted them and stopped them from really believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their faith in the Savior, but they've not really clung to Him as Lord. But in a simple act of humbling themselves today, they can make a fresh start and recognize that they have allowed their faith to be contaminated by letting in pride. So, Father, I pray they go back and they take hold of that measure and use it fully for you, trusting in you, making sure that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of their lives, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. I hope this message has really helped you. God bless.
Do you desire to know your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in a more personal and intimate way? Would you love for God to direct you in every detail of your life? If so, this book is for you. It'll give you clear, easy to understand instructions on how you can be prepared for an exciting and fulfilling walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. This book from Joseph Hedgecock was written from experience. Experience walked out rather than just theory. If you're interested in this book and many other resources available in different languages, then visit www.solm.org.